Appreciate the opportunity to be with you today. I want to ask if you would take your Bibles and turn it over to
Hosea, the fourth chapter. That's where we're going to start reading at here in a few minutes. I want to begin by telling you a story. If you'll go back with me to July 1st, 1750, one of the greatest theologians in America resigned from his church. Now, it wasn't because of a scandal. It wasn't because of something he did or something that he said. It was because of the way that he heard Scripture. Jonathan Edwards was only 47 years old, and he knew that resigning from his church would be one of the hardest things he had ever done because he loved ministry. But he also knew staying would be, well, just something that he couldn't do. See, 70 years earlier, his grandfather, Solomon Sodard, started a church. And his grandfather had started experiencing some declining membership. So he had to be creative in a way to get people to stay. Now, most of the decline was due to its members dying. So Solomon introduced what we know today as the halfway covenant. Now, this halfway covenant, before he introduced this covenant, only those who had confessed Christ and displayed baptism and devoted to the church could participate in communion. But after this halfway covenant, anybody could take communion. See, because in the church, there were a lot of good citizens, well-behaved, upstanding character, just good people that attended church. And Solomon knew that if those people were to leave, the church would have to close its doors. So he introduced this halfway covenant to where if you were just coming, you could simply partake in communion. It didn't matter if you had a relationship with Christ. It didn't matter if you're a member of the church. It didn't matter if you're a believer. You could just simply take communion. In 1727, Jonathan Edwards agreed to co-pastor the Northampton Church. 2 years later, his grandfather died, and Jonathan was left to be the sole pastor of the church. And as years passed, Jonathan became more and more uneasy with this halfway covenant. Might have been because the members of the church that weren't believers outnumbered those that were believers. In early of 1750, Jonathan opened up discussions about this halfway covenant. And as you can imagine, it didn't go over well. In June 22nd of 1750, Jonathan gave his farewell sermon to the church because he knew he could not stay at a place that did not match how he was hearing Scripture. Now, why did Jonathan have to leave? It was about hearing Scripture. Hearing Scripture is an important element for us as believers. But what does it mean, hearing Scripture? Psalmist writes in the 119th Psalm, "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. You ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed. When I look upon all your commandments, I shall give thanks to you with an uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me." Hearing Scripture implies more than just simply hearing. For in Hosea chapter 4, we see what simply hearing does. Let's read Hosea 4, starting in verse 1. "Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore, the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the beast of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. Let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. So you will stumble day by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being my priest, since you have forgotten the law of your God, and I will also forget your children. The more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people and direct their desire toward the iniquity. And it will be like people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. And they will not eat, but have enough. They will play the harlot, but not increase, because they have stopped giving heed to the Lord. Hosea 4 and these first 10 verses show us that simply hearing Scripture will do for us. So let me ask you two questions this morning. First, how are you hearing Scripture? And secondly, how are you helping others hear Scripture? The word hearing means this: to listen to and to consider, to take notice of, and to pay attention to. So what does hearing Scripture look like? What does it accomplish? I think Hosea painted a picture about what it doesn't accomplish. And it puts us in the same position where we have to make a choice, just like Jonathan Edward or even the nation of Israel. So what does hearing Scripture do for us? First, hearing Scripture, it strengthens our ability to submit to its authority. Hearing Scripture, it strengthens our ability to submit to its authority. There are two things needed in order to submit to the authority of God's Word. First is discernment. And let me make this perfectly clear. Discernment is not criticism. We get pretty good at being critical, don't we? We get pretty good at offering criticism. But discernment is not criticism. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 tells us, test everything, hold on to what is good, and avoid every kind of evil. Paul encourages us to exercise discernment. The danger that we've fallen into is that we want to know what is good by knowing what is evil. If it isn't evil, then it's good. I got to ask, nation of Israel, the words of Dr. Phil, how's that working out for you? Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11 says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to hear this. Don't hear anything else today. I want you to hear this. Knowing evil does not expose good. Knowing good exposes evil. Okay? I want to say that again. Knowing evil does not expose good. Knowing good exposes evil. The second thing that we need in order to submit to the authority of the Bible is conviction. Conviction is a convinced conscience. Our convictions need to reflect our understanding of Scripture. Our convictions should reflect our conscience in making personal decision of right and wrong. This is simply a command is a command, and we cannot nor should not convict it away. The second thing hearing Scripture will do for us, it develops our mind to be that of Christ. It develops our mind to be that of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Our thoughts, are important. That's where actions come from. Our thoughts are important. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, "Sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an action, you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny." Matthew 22 tells us how God has longed for His children to be gathered like hens, but we're not willing. Excuse me. I'm fighting the same stuff that everybody else is. Jesus tells us, so I have a peppermint. I have it. Thank you. Jesus tells us in Matthew 22 how He longed for His children to be gathered like hens, but they were not willing. The lack of this willingness was due to them not being able to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. When we allow our minds to be changed, we allow the Spirit of God to fill our being with the fruits of His Spirit. Thank you, you're my hero. When we change our minds, we allow them to be filled with the fruits of His Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. As we think and act like Him, the natural attributes of the nature of man will fade away, and it will be replaced in the heart with the mind of God. The third thing that hearing Scripture will do for us, it changes us. We as Christ followers are not a people in search of a product. It is not simply acting different. It is being different. It is being God-focused, not self-focused. We often forget that it's not men who changed men, but God that changed men. God, by His Spirit, through His Word. As we make it a pattern of hearing Scripture, we developed an appreciation for the doctrine of it, so much that it commands respect and willingness to protect it. We establish a high view of God's person that leads to a submissive obedience. We have a high view of God's salvation and the gospel of which it tells. Without these, we're unable to please Him, to know Him, or to follow Him. I want to say this. I believe that God speaks to His people through His Word. Amen. Okay? I want to say that again. I believe that God speaks to His people through His Word. There should be no more serious of an undertaking than hearing His Word. Hearing Scripture is not a simple pursuit of gaining knowledge. It's a quest to know and understand the mind of Christ. By hearing Scripture, we're able to grab on to and hold on to His teachings, His desires in all situations of life. And here's the part that makes us a little uneasy. Let me speak for myself. Here's the part that makes me a whole bunch uneasy. When I really hear Scripture, it just might take me to a different place than where I am. I don't know about you, but for me, it's a little unsettling. when I look at my own journey, I was raised in a Pentecostal church, a little bit different than the way that we practice things. I had an uneasiness with the things that I saw and the things that I experienced. Hearing Scripture kind of led me to a different place. Even now, as I hear Scripture, it leads me to a different place. It makes me uneasy. Sometimes it makes those around me a little uneasy because they're like, well, where is he going to go next? I hope I go where the Word of God leads me. And that's a little unsettling because that means sometimes we have to not practice certain traditions. Sometimes it means we do things a little differently. But I believe that if it's the Word of God, it's the Word of God. I desire to know God in a more deeper and intimate way. Hearing Scripture is a key part of doing and obtaining it. Hearing Scripture is a vessel in which the Lord guides, transforms, sanctifies, and shapes us into His likeness. It's not just the history of what God has done in the past, but it's His words of encouragement for you and for me in our everyday journey. Hearing Scripture is the way that God unveils what is to come. Hearing Scripture is the way God shares to us what He desires for us. You remember the old Verizon commercials? Can you hear me now? And you know, there's this guy with a cell phone and he's going all over the world. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Do you ever wonder if God is asking that same very question? Can you hear me now? We get so caught up in doing church. We get so caught up in being Christian. But I honestly forget sometimes we forget to listen to Scripture. We forget to hear it. So if God were to ask you, do you hear me now? How would you answer? Would you say loud and clear? Only on sunny days? Only if I'm in a holy place? How are you hearing Scripture? How are you helping others hear Scripture? Those are two questions that I challenge you to ask yourself as we get ready to embark on a new year. Because I really believe this. If we hear Scripture as God has called us to hear Scripture, 2013 will be unlike any other. Not just for you as an individual, but for you as a church, for us as a community, if we take time to hear Scripture. Let's pray. God, thank you for loving us. And I thank you for your word. Father, I pray that we will be able to drown out the noise which surrounds us and we'll be able to hear Scripture. I pray that it will allow us to become obedient and submissive to it. I pray that it will allow us to develop our minds to be that of Christ. And Father, I pray that it will change us. That we will not be a people of this world. That we will not be a people of tradition. That we will not be a people of guilt. When we will be a people that hear Scripture, one that is devoted to it, one that will uphold it and protect it, one that will embrace it. And when we can do that, it makes us a changed people. And that is what you call us to be, a changed people. He changed people in the middle of people who need people to be different. And may we be those people. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Maybe you have been hearing Scripture. It might have come through a neighbor. It might have come through a friend. It might be where you just sat down and randomly opened the Bible and God is speaking to you. If God is speaking to you and you would like to share that, if you would like to embrace that, I encourage you to do that this morning as we stand and sing.